So in our last Substack audio, we mentioned the skinny guy that used to talk about black goo, and Nina Bellanina was right on it. She gave us the clip, rewatched it, and was like, wow, that was put out in 2015. We remember this, but when we went to listen to it again, it had a different meaning to it. So then we became curious on who Harold really is and what other material he's put out. So Douglas spent a few days looking over everything and has a report for us.
Okay, now, Harold Coutts-Vella. Okay. I am going to have to make some personal remarks about him. I don't like to make personal remarks about people, but I'm thinking about talking about Cliff High. And, of course, I might talk about Alex Jones. I mean, don't get me started on some of these people, because we in the last talk, we were talking about the guy who interviewed Dr. Wag. Well, if you don't vet people, then you shouldn't be publicly broadcasting, especially if you're interviewing them. You know how many people ask us to interview them? Oh, my Lord, I turn down people so much. It's ridiculous, okay? Why? Because I can't vet them. You know what it takes to vet somebody? So if I was to vet that lady who got her degree from London, I would have stopped right there, period. Period. Where did you learn to be a virologist? Now, Harold doesn't tell us what his experience is, what his vocation is, what kind of work he does. He says he creates solutions. Okay. Yeah. I love people who say they create solutions. Anyway, the point is that he is got so much angst in him and nihilistic existentialism that it's kind of hard to listen to him. But the direction he was going was somewhat correct. And that's what I want to point out. This is a perfect example to show how to use discernment, okay? And to show that very simply, you can demonstrate whether somebody's telling the truth or not by doing some quick research or just by knowing certain things. Simple logic. So what was he saying? I first saw him when he was talking about goo. And I'm not sure who sent it to me to begin with. And I didn't even respond to them. Why? Because a lot of things he said couldn't be proven. He didn't have anything to back it up. And I, at that point, didn't know enough to say, oh, can graphene be created in the earth? No, it's not. It's never created in the earth. So his whole thing of nanotubes being in the earth as alien technology falling from the sky and going into the earth is complete insanity. But it is the right direction. Fallen beings in the subterranean layers of the earth do take carbon. And we're using it in our realm here, but the real effects are going into the subterranean realms of the earth, into where evil exists. And so what he was saying was somewhat true. They were aliens. It wasn't alien technology. He says that if you get near it, it makes you sick, and that it was always based upon blood sacrifices and fire, burning people up. Okay, well, that's correct. Because graphene oxide, as an evil created by mechanically inclined thinkers, does absorb light. It is evil. It is inhuman. And it is really was planned by demons in subterranean realms. That is all true. But you see, so he got part of it, but he didn't get the other part. And then he gets really confused with the types of carbon that are in the world. And he thinks that graphene can be created in the crust of the earth. No, it's not. A lot of carbon dioxide goes down there. I was just explaining in a last talk about that. But the point is that he had some things right, and he was headed in the right direction, and some things wrong. Are there pools of black goo? Yes. There is a type of petroleum that is ferromagnetic. And yes, the effects he was talking about certainly do exist. If you're in a ferromagnetic black petroleum that comes up in pools from the earth, and it is natural, is that the black goo that is taking over the world, or it's an alien? No, absolutely not. That's completely silly. Now, is there a black goo? Yeah, get a container of graphene oxide. It is black. And there's liquid forms of it, so there's literally liquid forms of graphene oxide. Heat it and watch it be alive. Watch it be self-animated. Watch it self-organize. Watch it self-replicate. And then you're going to say, oh my God, this is living black evil goo. Yeah, I guess you could say that. So part of what he's saying is true and part isn't. For instance, he said that meteorites fell during the Lemurian period. Okay, I love it when he just jumps to, well, you know, he's an expert in Atlantis and Lemurian and other, but he didn't mention Steiner or Blavatsky or Churchward or Elliot Scott, Scott Elliott. Or,
that he would know Rudolf Steiner and he would have read something to give him a better cosmology in explaining this.
I don't know how he has an excuse. He's a German living in Berlin. How can he not have come across Rudolf Steiner in spiritual science? It's the number one alternative school is Waldorf education. I've never met anyone from Germany who didn't know about Steiner, either his hospitals or the Waldorf schools or whatever. It's impossible. So he has to know about Steiner. But what's he missing? What Steiner provides. A Christian cosmology. This guy obviously hates religion, and understandably, he's quoting how religions killed lots and lots of people. Yeah, they did, and they do, and they will. And those are the man-made versions of religion. But he's kind of lost the... But he has it in himself with his sensitivity in psychology. One of his interviews was all about trauma, and basically showing that he has gone through terrible trauma. But he also said that he, in a past life, as a ritual black magician, killed his own sister with a knife and met her again in this life, and she was cursed, and people thought she was a black magician. And it's like, okay, take a breath, Harold. You know, get over your trauma, stop living like a refugee, and get a little bit more fact going on here. So if you take the facts that I've been giving you, which are facts, because I put them in the articles and they go to modern research of people doing things, not talking about things, then you can get further with this. So he said that black goo came from the sky during Lemuria as a bunch of meteorites hitting the Earth. Okay, incorrect, but kind of correct. First off, the Earth wasn't even... And during the time of ancient Lemuria, it would probably not have been possible for that to happen. But anyway, even if it did happen, this is what happened. All around the Earth, but particularly in Kurila, Russia, and right next door into Finland, are two mines of shungite. And shungite has C60 on it. So to say that black goo is C60, because he mistakenly said C60 was black goo. He also mistakenly said that nanotubes are created in the core of the Earth, complete insanity. They're man-made. They couldn't have been created in the Earth. So simple logic demonstrates that, you know, I can pick apart parts of his story, but there were parts that were so good that he got me inspired to start studying biophotons. It was just that he made the reference and I started thinking because he contrasted black goo as light absorbing. I'm not sure he said it was light absorbing, but that it's darkness, and that it's the opposite of the light of biophotonic energy in the body. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. I'm going to figure out how to enhance biophotonic energy in the body, and particularly through DNA. Well, we know certain frequencies can do that to heal telomeres and so on and so forth, but it wasn't the content of what he gave. It was just a reference that he made. And he made a bunch of references like that that I got very excited about because I thought, you know, this guy is totally right on. And for a moment, I thought he might have studied Rudolf Steiner and been anthroposophist, but obviously not. So is he a good scientist? No, because he can't give you just even a logical sequence of thinking that demonstrate that what he's saying is true.
Okay, I want to go out into the imaginal world right now. So we did the experiment that you could take grape juice or red wine, gargle it in the back of your throat, spit it out on a white plate, then get some rubbing alcohol, put a little few drops in there, and you will begin to see these strands of black things begin to organize. Now, at the time, I didn't know that that would be named graphene oxide, but what I did know is that we all have it in us. I don't know if we're breathing it through chemtrails or eating it in foods, but we try it yourself and you'll see. So with my background in radionics, I thought, how can I treat this? So what I wanted to do was to change the vibration of the substance. If it's in all of us, I don't want it to cause us harm. I'd like it to bring light. So I would need to put it next to something, on something, nearby something that was vibrating at a very high frequency. And I decided in all of my space that that place would be at the tip of the spear. And those of you who followed us would know exactly what that spear is. So I have put a little bottle of that on the tip of the spear. And with consciousness, I believe we can reverse the spin of the negativity that we see with graphene oxide and in its place bring enlightenment.
Yes, true. And there's other methods. You have the...
I know, but this one seemed to be the most direct at the tip of the spear.
Well, you're talking the spiritual core of planting the seed for all else then to cluster around. I'm talking about using ionic foot baths, bentonite, fulmic acid, humic acid, these kind of things. And by the way, when you put hydrogen peroxide on the grape juice...
It's alcohol, rubbing alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Either one would work. Matter of fact, that's even better because that is an alcohol. And what is it that they use to stimulate graphene? Ethanol, alcohol, propane, any alcohol, hydrogen peroxide. And that process is called, they make hydroxyls out of it. And it's basically using an acid to oxidize. So what is that? That's burning. So you take it and you burn it and it becomes graphene oxide. And if you burn it even more with acid, you can reduce it to reduced graphene oxide. And then you can really start to play games with it. You can make it into what now I've discovered is called porous graphene oxide, which then can be made into man-made tissue, bone structure, you name it. It's like, oh my Lord, they're going to be making humans out of this. And it will all be, and they'll be able to mutate humans by dropping, and I'm sure they already do it in experimentation. They're dropping quantum, they're dropping nanoparticles of graphene oxide quantum dots. And in them, they're pre-programmed in this, what I was telling you about, this form of skeletal templating. And so they know to gather together. And when they hit warmth, in other words, the second they hit your body, they get activated. They cluster and they create things. And what do they create? Whatever they're pre-programmed to create. Now, that's crazy. Now, that is a form of black goo. Now, is that an alien incursion? First off, the only natural C60 is found sometimes in water, particularly in certain high elevation valleys, but because why? That's where meteorites hit. So they just found in the last few days, graphene naturally formed on meteorites. So graphene can form in space, as I've told you, and it can form C60 in space, C70, C80, and I project that they'll figure out eventually C90. And what are these things? Are they alien intelligence? No. Are they higher hierarchy giving us the idea of what we're supposed to grow into? Yes, that's what they are. They are the template for what we are to become. And it's a guidance for our own DNA. It's a guidance for every cell in our body. And so if you take C60, that's what it does. Some people have accused me recently of saying, you know, that I'm really confused because C60 is evil graphene. No, they're wrong. I've been studying this for years. No. There's only a few
or
places.
Or maybe there are trolls out there sent to provide disinformation to confuse people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm doing it for application purposes, so if it's incorrect, then I should have noticed by now, because I've been using C60 for years, every single day, and I'm still alive after they said I was supposed to die a few times. So anyway, the point is, it's application. It isn't theory. Now, did meteorites fall to the Earth? Yes, and they brought shungite, and in shungite is C60, and how did it get in there? Because it's a carbonaceous substance that was heated in outer space to fantastic temperatures, maybe even in an explosion. And then it came to the Earth, and the Russians have considered it sacred ever since they discovered it, and they put it in their water, and it's used quite commonly. And elite shungite has as much as 75% or more C60 in it, and that's what makes it look like a rainbow. Okay, so that's completely different. So when Harold got confused in his mind, he went in the right direction. Is there evil coming out of the core of the Earth? Yes. Is it from meteorites that brought graphene to Earth or other substances? No. Does graphene fall to Earth from meteorites? Yes. Does C60, a higher form of carbon, exist in outer space? Yes. So what he's missing is science. He's missing a cosmology. And if he would study spiritual science of Rudolf Steiner.
He's a scalar physicist.
But everyone who uses the word scalar, I question, because it is not a completely agreed upon science. And every time you get into any fringe science, any kind of borderland science, they're going to mention scalar waves. Well, we created a scalar wave device upstairs because I used three Tesla antenna inventions, which he indicated would be able to create standing waves. And when Harold was asked about, you know, I watched four of these interviews, when he was asked about orgone energy, he really didn't understand orgone energy at all, matter of fact. And he hesitated. So what he's telling you is what he has read in his own conspiracy theory studies. And he's going to tell you that he has arrived at these, or we have arrived at these, you know, some scientists have arrived at these. No, just go back to the people who are the scientists, the evil mad scientists who brag about their work. That's where you're going to find the truth, because they're going to brag about how they were able to do things that or and can do things that are going to make them more money. Remember, every single research study I'm showing you was talking about the state of the art and application, and they were funded, and that's where the money is. You have to follow the money. I'm afraid that Harold didn't follow the money on that one. Now, the pools of this stuff in Paraguay, yes, there's a pool of this stuff in Paraguay. I've seen pictures of it. I've seen people go and take stuff out of it, and it does have ferromagnetic properties. So what? It ran through specific magnetic fields, and it had a lot of iron, so it was running, you know, so what? That's just another form of crude oil. Now, does it have evil properties that he described, that when he came near it, he then went in and wanted to kill the person in the hotel who wouldn't let him take a shower? Or okay, that's crazy, Harold. That's you. You're just telling people who you are, okay? Anybody can get this substance. And you can experiment with it. I've seen lots of people experiment with it. And all it is a natural forming substance that happens to come up from very specific layers of the earth so that it is tinged and it's basically magnetized. So what? That's not the black goo I'm talking about. I'm talking about the black goo that's in most injections that for medical purposes so that it can expedite the delivery of the drug. I'm so excited. I want to go get some and just eat it. Oh, that's right. It's deadly poisonous. Sorry. Don't eat it. That's right. Then it would be more poisonous in your blood, wouldn't it? Oh, well, then what's more deadly than deadly poison? I don't know. I would call it nefarious, evil, demonic, attempts to kill humans. That's all I can say. Now, Harold didn't quite get that. Harold would come up to the question. He'd come up to evil, play with evil a little bit, and back off and say some really nice things. And
well, I like what he has to say about love.
Yeah, I loved some of the things he said. But on the other hand, he's building up a bit too much fear, and then he's telling you that it's the fear that can get you. And that you don't need to be in fear. And it's like, but dude, you're spreading conspiracy theories. Now, I'm spreading worse than conspiracy theories. I'm spreading truth. And it is more frightening than any conspiracy theory, okay? Conspiracy theories are usually from non-imaginative people. They just haven't read enough sci-fi, I guess, because, you know, you need to make it pretty juicy these days to get anybody's attention. And so all the stuff you see in the movies, and I quoted, you know, the X-Files and many other movies.
And Star Trek. Remember that? I put the one on Star Trek that had the goo assembled. And when saw it, it resembled, I was thinking of the slug people that Steiner talks about.
And remember, and one I'm thinking of, it swallowed the people into it. It was a puddle of black and swallowed people into them. Well, that's what real black goo does.
Yes.
It caused you to go into their dark world.
And then Picard leaves because he leaves that world to its evil, and that's all it'll become.
It's all it can become.
All it can do is absorb. It's sort of like black rock. It absorbs all these companies. That's all it can do until it becomes just this evil thing.
Yeah.
I say black rock is the black goo.
Well, I'm sure they named it after the black rock in the Kaaba. or the Black Rock, which is the cube of evil, or all these, you know, the anti-Ashler, all these different things. That is a black cube, right?
Could you be more obvious in the name of your company?
And look at all the companies that use a cube, and they usually stand the cube up on one of its vertices, you know, and spin it around in an odd way. But the cube is, of course, the shape of the heart. It's the organs around the heart that keep the heart in a box, basically. But now let's go back to when we're talking about carbon, and we're talking about the forms of carbon, that's what, I'm sorry to be so silly, but that's what God made us out of, okay? When they said he made us out of clay, well, that's what he made the physical body out of. But then, you know, what did he make the living body out of? That was carbon. Why? Because every single aspect of the organic world has to have carbon. It's built upon it. So it's the good stuff. And what does it become under pressure? It becomes diamonds. And now they've found out that between the crust and the core, massive amounts of diamonds, infinite amount of diamonds are being created constantly. And that there's streams of infinite artesian water coming up out of the earth. They're finding this out as they're digging. And these discoveries are every day, literally every single day. I can't even report to you. I could do a show a day on simply the discoveries being made every single day, and nobody connects them to anything else. So everybody's in their own box in science. Everybody's in their own field. They use their own jargon, and they wouldn't know if they, in biochemistry, did they acknowledge that graphene was found on meteorites now? Because if they did, then they should start studying graphene in space. In other words, carbon in space. How did it get there? Where did it come from? Now, Harold, when people are called a polymath, I immediately get suspicious. Or when people introduced him, they said that he's, you know, the greatest, most brilliant mind, simply because he threw out a whole bunch of jargon that sounded like it was connected, because he said he was connected. And the only real proof of anything he gave was him saying he was right, you know, even when he was quoting crazy conspiracy theories. For instance, how about the theory that the black goo is in four computers in the world, the city of London and Nova Scotia and the Vatican and Washington, D.C., or wherever he said they were, I don't know. Black goo computers. No, wrong, incorrect, no such thing. Is there such a thing as graphene that is being turned into computing? Oh, heavens, yes. Oh, my. Yes. And where are they going now with it? They're going with diamonds, okay? They're going to put all the memory on carbon crystals, because the new field in graphene, the newest field, is they can mix it with silica dioxide. Okay, they can mix it with quartz. So in other words, now you're going to have a pseudo living inorganic world that is a memory device. Now, I've been saying this for, oh, I don't know, back in the 70s. They already have bubble memory, and it's put under crystals. Now they're going to create those crystals with a process of graphene crystallization, merging it with silica dioxide, with quartz. And when this happens, all of the computer industries will explode, because now you're talking about nanoparticle microchips. Now, by the way, graphene oxide already makes nanoparticle microchips, and they inject them into your body through hydrogels. This is a fact. They control many, many procedures, control every organ in your body through hydrogels that can be then communicated with by a doctor's iPhone with an app on his iPhone or her phone. So these things aren't science fiction. They're real. And Harold needs to come up to date. I listened to the most recent one he did, and he really hasn't advanced much. He reminds me of, what's his name, David Icke? Is that how you say his name? Ike?
Yes.
Icky. I call him Icky. Why? Because he only goes so far. He gets you all worked up. He tells you that he was always right. Yeah, well, look, folks, I could make up anything off the top of my head right now and spout it out and tell you that I was the first one to tell you that. And then I could go look it up and find that it's probably true. What does that mean? Nothing. So what? That he's been doing this for 30 years. He doesn't have a picture. He doesn't have a cosmology. He can't place it in time and space and consciousness. Yes, he is a whistleblower. Yes, he is an alarmist. Yes, he is a Debbie Downer. There's no doubt about that. And has he been right? Well, of course he's right. It doesn't take much. Read the newspaper, folks. So is Harold right? Yeah, Harold's right. Especially with his spiritual understanding of it, with his supposed scientific understanding of it when he was talking about scalar waves and this and that. Please show me the device that you're referring to. Can you name the device? Where is it located? In all the things that he talked about. Now, when he talked about HARP, he did what all the conspiracy theorists did. He talks about the ionization of aluminum oxide and so on and so forth. But then he doesn't connect it to HARP. HARP was created for weather control. He made it sound as if, and he thinks he's the big revealer of chemtrails. Hello? People in their backyard gathered rainwater in the 70s and told us what was in it. And yes, coal dust, aluminum, strontium, barium, especially barium, titanium, and now 1,000 other heavy metals and also rare metals, yttrium, cesium, all of that, that's in them. So what? How does he think that he's the person who revealed all of those? We revealed the pictures of the insides of them. We revealed the name of the company that was a Canadian company owned by British interests that had nothing to do with the Navy. When he said the Navy is doing chemtrails, yes, the Navy was doing weather manipulation, and they will admit that. Of course they did. But they're putting coal ash into the air, which causes less sunlight to come through. And HARP causes the heavy ionized, and they are ionized by the sun, and that is, he was correct about a few things he said with chemtrails, a number of things he said, but he didn't get quite the full picture. HARP bounces off our atmosphere. It basically ionizes any flake metals or coal ash, and it causes them to rise, not fall. He didn't get into that whole aspect. What we catch in rainwater is one thing, but what rises into the atmosphere is the more dangerous thing. And he didn't ever mention that. So how could he have revealed chemtrails if he didn't reveal the most basic aspects? Who's doing it? Where are they doing it out of? How come America can't stop it? Why do presidents don't even know what's going on? But then who gives us our weather? It was controlled by the Brits. Almost every single radar weather station in America was owned by a company that was owned by British interests. So we got our weather prediction. We got our weather manipulation. We see the platforms that create weather manipulation in Hurricane Alley. They're humidifiers. They take massive amounts of ocean water. We've shown you the pictures. They're fantastically huge floating platforms. And in Hurricane Alley, if you put enough moisture into the air, of course it's going to turn into hurricanes. And then they learned how to aim them with the radar. And when that was revealed, guess what happened? The Brits sold their company to somebody that I can't trace. I should ask Michael McKibben to trace them. But, you know, the point is that many things that go on in America, Americans aren't even doing. It's like the release of the synthetic vaccine in Wuhan. That wasn't the Chinese. That was the British. So we have to look very carefully. So with anything that Harold's telling you, it seems to me as if he got to a point where he got enough conspiracy supposition and basically not real evidence, but things that look like evidence. And he rolled them all together, said he was an expert, and delivered them with a lot of spiritual content and going in the right direction of the spiritual battles that are going on in our age. That much I respect. I don't respect him at all for not giving out information that people can follow through on. Anything I'm telling you, I will tell you where to go get it. And literally in most cases, and he kept saying, all of this is in the public domain. All of this is in the public domain. The things we give you, it's in the public domain, except for the insinuations of spiritual science, which you can get that too. But that comes from the deep researchers like Rudolf Steiner, and all of the great Western esoteric Christian paths, and all of the ancient paths. And that's what we use as our evidence, and then coinciding that with modern research so that we get application, not theory, because science theory is always proven to be a lie. And remember, if it's supplanted by a new theory and they don't tell you the old theory was wrong, then the old theory is a lie that continues to go on in the minds of many people. Many people are living in the illusions of the nonsense they were taught in their silly science classes in elementary school, high school, college. And all of that information, almost all information in the last 20 years has been supplanted by new discoveries that show that most everything science ever told us was incorrect, and especially in astrophysics, which every single day they have a new discovery from that new telescope that demonstrate that what they thought was true was nothing more than science superstition.